Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the listening of the book of Wisdom for the Devoted, where we're coming to the last three installments. This installment starts on page 193, and it includes a few chapters. It includes a chapter called Inherent Remembrance, Coaxing the Self to be Grateful During Hardship, Have Patience When Hurt, Fear of People and Greed, Gifts of Honor or Debasement, and finally, Certainty in Allah. That's five chapters, but they're all about a page. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Rahman Rahim Maliki Yawm Deen Iyak Nabudu Wa Iyak Nasta'in Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim Sirat Al-Ladhina An'amta Alayhim غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين لا إله إلا الله لا So we pick up our reading again on page 193 with the chapter Inherent Remembrance. On the path to Allah, you have to rely on obeying the divine demands and avoiding the divine prohibitions, and on making your remembrance a permanent and inseparable part of you. O seeker, the goal is to be conscious of Allah in all of your states, at all times and in all places. Therefore, you must remember Allah with your tongue and with your heart. The remembrance that unites all the meanings of the invocations of dhikr and contains all its outward and inward fruits is La ilaha illallah, meaning there's no God but Allah. This is the remembrance that is recommended to the beginner on the path toward Allah, and it is the remembrance they return to at the end of the path. Whoever wants to taste a glimpse of the secrets of the way and to have a perspective of the reality, they should devote themselves to the remembrance of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with a heart that is present and full of politeness, sincerity, longing, and extraordinary focus. Whoever unites those meanings just mentioned will have the lofty dominion unveiled to him. And his spirit will gaze at the realities of the purest realm. The eyes of his secret will witness the holy and lofty beauty. O seeker, you should contemplate abundantly. Contemplation is of three types. Contemplating the marvels of divine power and the excellent originality and beauty of his heavenly and earthly dominion. The fruit of this is knowing Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Contemplating his gifts and blessings. The fruit of this is loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Contemplating the lower world and the final world and the states of the people therein. The benefit of this is to turn away from the lower world and to long for the final world. We've mentioned some benefits, but there are many more. Next chapter, coaxing the self to be grateful during hardship. The follower may be afflicted with poverty and hardship, but he must continue to thank Allah for this affliction and consider it a great blessing, because the lower world comes only to his enemies and he turns it away from his friends, awliya. Let him praise Allah for giving him what is similar to what he gave to his prophets, friends, and virtuous worshippers. The master of all the messengers and the best of all people, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to tie a stone around his stomach because of hunger. 2 months or more would pass without a fire for cooking lit in his house. He and his family would eat dates and drink water. Sometimes he would have a guest and would search through all of his house for something to offer him, and he would find nothing. When he died, his shield was mortgaged at a shop in exchange for some barley, and only a little of that barley was delivered to his house. O follower, direct your energy in this world only to have something to cover your body and a morsel to satisfy your hunger, and eat only what is permissible. Beware of yearning for the pleasures of this world and its ornaments, or envying others for their fortune, because these are deadly poisons. And know that people will be asked about these blessings, about how they used them, and they will be brought to reckoning for indulging in the pleasures of the lower desires. If you knew about their misery, suffering, bitter taste, sadness, and problems, and about what is within their hearts and between their chests that results from following the lower world and their caring about it, you would see that this suffering and sadness, misery and bitterness, are much more than the pleasures they indulged in. It is enough for you to find a lesson for ridding yourself of desiring this indulgence, when Allah says, "And were it not that the people would become one community of materialists, we would have made for those who cover up the truth concerning the universally merciful one, for their houses roofs of silver and stairways to ascend, and for their houses doors and couches upon which to recline, and ornaments of gold. But all of that would be nothing but the enjoyment of the worldly life. And the final life is for those who, conscious of Allah, ward off evil from within and without. Also, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The dunya is a prison for the faithful believer and a garden for the one who covers up the truth. But if the dunya weighed in the eyes of God the weight of the wing of a mosquito, he would not have let any of those who cover up the truth drink even a sip of water from it. Know that provision is decreed and is distributed between people. Some people may have expansion while others may experience contraction, and this is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O follower, if you're one of those who is experiencing contraction, then be patient, content, satisfied with what your Lord has decreed for you. If you're one of those who is experiencing expansion, then take only what is enough for you and spend the rest in doing good in a benevolent way. Know that it's not obligatory for one who follows the path to Allah to spend all of his money or to abandon his business or profession. What is obligatory upon him is to be conscious of Allah, to guard himself against evil, to perform the obligatory and the supererogatory rituals, and to not fall into what is prohibited or indulge in accumulating wealth without spending it for the sake of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a follower knows that his heart cannot be straight and his religion cannot be secure except by getting rid of his money, he should do so. However, if he has children and a wife and is financially supporting, let him fulfill his duty and support them. But if he is disabled, know that the law excuses him from this duty, and he is not in sin in this case, nor does he deserve to feel any shame. O follower, know that you will not be able to abide with obedience, to avoid prohibition, to rid yourself of low desires, or to turn away from the lower world except when you are aware within yourself that life in the lower world is short and you will soon die. Your appointed time is written between your eyes, so be ready for death and watch for its occurrence at any moment. Do not feel inordinately hopeful, because excessive hope may lead to an inclination to love the worldly life, and obedience and worship will become heavy upon you. Separate yourself from these things for the final life and reflect upon the nearness of death and the shortness of this life. This is good for you, so keep reminding yourself of this fact, and may Allah grant you and us success. Have patience when hurt. Some people try to harm the traveler or blame or abandon them. If you face something like this, endure it with patience. Purify your heart from evil and all evil, and do not desire their good opinion. If you face something like this, endure it with patience. And purify your heart from envy and all evil, and do not desire their good opinion. And beware of invoking Allah against anyone, and never claim that your afflictions are because of his harm. Forgiving those who harm you is better than being patient, and prayers on their behalf are the lofty manners of the true believers. When people turn away from you, consider this a blessing from your Lord, because if they had not turned away, you would have been busy with them rather than observing your obedience to Allah. Therefore, if you are afflicted by their coming to you or with their praise and glorification, beware of your fascination with them and thank Allah for concealing your bad qualities from them. If you find yourself worried about being occupied with them, beautifying yourself for them, and with pretense, then seclusion is better for you. Close your door, leave the location in which you are well known for a location in which you are still unknown. It's better to escape renown and popularity and to prefer concealment, because you can become compelled by people's high opinion of you, and this can cause affliction. And this is why one of the predecessors said, by Allah, if a slave is truly sincere with Allah, he is not concerned about his rank. Another predecessor said, I have not known any man who wanted recognition by people whose religion did not suffer and who was not subjected to scandal. Fear of people and greed. O seeker, strive to purify your heart from fear of people and from greed that causes you to take advantage of them, because fear will cause you to keep silent when there is falsehood, and greed will cause you to compromise the values of your religion. Fear of others causes the seeker to abandon his demand for what is known as praiseworthy to sound reasoning, and to not prohibit what is blameworthy. Fear is humiliating to its possessor. The true believer has dignity and strength by the support of his Lord, and he does not fear anyone or seek to attain anything except him. If any of your brothers or sisters do something good for you, accept it and thank Allah, because the real giver is Allah. However, you should also thank whoever Allah used to convey his giving. Used to convey his giving. If you think that you have no need for what has been offered to you, first look deeply. If you find that it will benefit your heart, accept it. Otherwise, reject it gently without breaking the heart of the giver. Breaking this holy sanctuary of the heart of the believer is greatly prohibited by Allah. Beware of rejecting gifts in order to gain the good opinion of others, and of receiving gifts from desire. However, taking something because of desire is better than rejecting it to gain the opinion that you are an ascetic who has turned from worldly life. The sincere one is not confused. Surely Allah puts lights within the heart of the truthful believer by which he knows what his Lord wants him to do. Gifts of honor or debasement. One of the most harmful occupations of the seeker is his desire for unveiling and his longing to manifest some extraordinary event, karamat. These gifts do not manifest for him as long as he desires them, but they will manifest on those who do not like them and who are not in pursuit of them. Miracles also occur for some of the arrogant ones to allure them and as a trial because of their lack of faith. In these cases, miracles are considered a debasement, ihanat, and not a gift of honor. On the other hand, they are an extraordinary gift of honor to the people of obedience. O seeker, if Allah honors you with some of his generous, extraordinary gifts, then praise Allah for them and do not stop with their outer manifestation. Do not rest in them. Conceal the matter from others and thank Allah for its manifestation, and do not feel sadness when you lose it. Know that the best extraordinary event that contains all kinds of true extraordinary gifts, as well as imaginal gifts, is obedience, which is expressed by surrendering to the commands and avoiding the prohibitions, inwardly and outwardly. Therefore, you must rectify your obedience and master it, so that the highest and lowest serve you in a way that will not veil your Lord from you, and will not occupy you from realizing His will. The final chapter is called Certainty in Allah. O seeker, think good of your Lord so that He will help you, suffice you, protect you, and save you. He will not put you in charge of yourself, and He will not put any creature in charge of you, because He has informed us that He is with the one who thinks good of him. He is what His servant thinks of him. So drive out the fear of poverty from your heart, and do not expect to fulfill your needs with people. Beware of being overly concerned about your provision. Rather, be confident in your Lord's promise. He is the one handling your affairs. He says, and there's not a creature on the earth save that the responsibility for its provision is on Allah. 11:6. And you are among the creatures on the earth. Therefore, busy yourself with what you have been asked to do, and this will grant your provision, because your guardian protector will never forget you. And He has already informed you that your provision is on Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so seek your provision from Allah. Worship Him. Be thankful to Him. 29:17. Do you not see how He even provides for those who cover up the truth, and for those who worship other than Him? Would He then deprive the faithful believers who worship Him alone of His provision while providing for the disobedient and those who turn aside from His commands? Does He not then provide for the obedient, those who are conscious of Him and those who remember Him often and thank Him? Know that there is no blame in seeking provision outwardly in a way permissible by the law. Blame is associated with the state of your heart. Rather, it is tranquil or disturbed, following illusion and fear. One of the signs of a ruined heart is a person's worry about something that has not yet happened, such as worrying about the next day or the next month. This person says, when this is finished, how will I receive more? Or, if I do not receive what I need from what I am doing now, from where else would it come? Regarding removing the causes or engaging them, there are two stations, and Allah establishes His worshippers in either of them. If Allah establishes the worshipper in the station of removing the causes, let him hold on to the power of certitude and the expansion of the heart and abide in worship. Regarding the one Allah establishes in engaging the causes, let him be conscious of Allah, revering Him and guarding himself against evil, taqwa, in what he uses, and let him have reliance only on Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let him be careful to busy himself with obeying his Lord more than engaging himself with the causes. Incoming thoughts may appear in the seeker's mind concerning his provision or his desire for the good opinion of others or other blameworthy thoughts. But as long as he dislikes these thoughts and strives to oppose them and remove them from his heart, he is not worthy of blame and he is not a sinner. Alhamdulillah, that brings us to page 200, and we have two more installments, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.